This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stacio. Presidential hopeful Hillary Clinton announced a plan for universal voter registration.
And I believe we should go even further to strengthen voting rights in America. So today I'm calling for universal, automatic voter registration. Every citizen in every state in the union. Everyone. Every young man or young woman should be automatically registered to vote when they turn 18, unless they actively choose to opt out.
Hillary took aim at GOP voting laws in several states, including right here in North Carolina, charging that they hinder the democratic process. Well, former Texas Governor Rick Perry responded on CBS Face the Nation.
If you think that Washington needs to be controlling our voting and our oversight for voting, I just don't agree with that. And I think most Americans believe that the governors, the legislatures, and it overwhelmingly passed in the state of Texas. She's basically looking at the people of Texas and other states that have put types of voter identification laws into place and saying, we don't trust you.
Will making voter reform a campaign issue help or hurt the candidates? Joining me to help answer this question and many, many more is political junkie Ken Rudin. Welcome back, Ken.
Hey, Frank.
So, Ken, there are, you know, clearly the details of her plan are debatable. They're part of the public debate. Whether or not it helps her campaign, also very debatable. Let me make one comment with regard to Rick Perry's statement that governors always know better when it comes to voting rights. Washington never knows best. I will tell you that I thank God that Washington knew better than Ross Barnett and George Wallace when it came to voting rights. Because, well, frankly, if it hadn't been for Washington's better knowledge and assertion of that better knowledge, we'd still be living under Jim Crow laws, which I might point out also passed by wide majorities. That said, God does dwell in the details. Let's talk about this universal voter registration idea that Hillary Clinton has put forward.
Frank, how do you really feel about voting rights? No,
well, I'm just saying, don't you think Jim Crow, we really, that was wrong, and right. It had to go, and the governors of those states said it was right. And by the way, the argument they made was, we know better than Washington.
No.
I
don't have much opinions on many issues, but I feel very strongly about it. Everybody should have the right to vote, and I don't want to compare Rick Perry with George Wallace and Ross Barnett, but I understand what you're saying. But
it's the general principle. But
absolutely.
In detail, let's talk about the details.
Yeah, but the details are basically what Hillary Clinton wants, and she gave that speech last week. Was it Texas Christian University? It was a historically black college in Houston last week, and it was interesting is because Hillary Clinton, who's going to have a big launch of her campaign tomorrow, she's been criticized for not coming out with anything of passion. I mean, basically, she's having these meet and greets in Iowa and saying, you know, very fluffy stuff with no oomph behind it and no controversy, certainly. She's not, you know, we don't know how she feels about the trade bill or the Iranian nuclear arrangements, things like that. But on voting issues, she was very passionate, and she's obviously, this is an issue that separates the Democrats and the Republicans. What she wants is, as she said, she wants whenever somebody turns 18, they get automatically registered unless they want to opt out. That's what Oregon has passed not too recently, although Oregon also has male-only voting, and I've always felt that women should have the right to vote too, but that's another story altogether. But anyway, the point is that she... Is it going to help her? Is it going to help her with the base? Absolutely. But is it the right thing? Well, I think everybody, I mean, all these roadblocks that legislatures have been putting up, mostly since 2010, since the Tea Party took over many state governments, they put up these voter IDs and cut back on early voting and things to basically discourage votes. And obviously, it's a political thing. The Republicans feel, the Republicans say that it cuts back on fraud, but it also makes sure that, you know, there are certain segments of the population that could be hurt by these laws. And Hillary Clinton makes a point of saying that this is discriminatory and should be opened up for everybody.
Does this suggest to you that Hillary's strategy at this point is really to energize her base and make sure that those people inclined to vote for her get out rather than win over crossover voters?
I think that's a very important question you're asking, because there seems to be fewer and fewer voters up for grabs lately. It seems to be such a polarized nation that you're either for it or against it. You're either for this candidate or you're against it. So if there are fewer voters, I think by now everybody knows how they feel about Hillary Clinton, and I don't think there are people undecided about her. So I think the calculation, and it's probably the correct calculation, is to make sure that, you know, we saw all these Democrats who sat home in 2014, but they didn't sit home in 2012. Now, 2016 is a presidential election when the Democratic electorate is expected to be once again larger, but who knows about African-American turnout without a Barack Obama on the ballot? Everybody remembers some kind of tensions between the Clintons and the Obamas in 2008, especially what happened in South Carolina. So I don't know if it's cheap calculation. Certainly everything is politics, but I also think that it can't hurt the Democratic Party. It can't hurt her candidacy. And, you know, for all she's concerned about, it's the right thing to do.
Voting rights, obviously, a very important issue here in North Carolina. And then down at the granular level here in our state, lots of action at the General Assembly this week. Legislature and governor don't see eye to eye on a law related to same-sex marriage. General Assembly voted to override the governor's veto of a bill that allows magistrates to opt out of performing all marriages when they have to perform a same-sex marriage, and same-sex marriage, obviously, the key factor there. What's the political cost? The governor's distanced himself. He said he's disappointed at the override, made it clear he doesn't support this legislation. Will he be painted by the same brush? Does he suffer in the polls when he runs for re-election, or is in terms of his party's action on this case?
Well, right now, I mean, if you look at the polls for 2016, and of course, we're only talking about June of 2015, so we got, what, 18 months to go or so. But right now, we're looking at a very, very, very close a re-election bid for McCrory. His numbers are no better than even against Roy Cooper, the likely Democratic opponent, and he has a tough battle. It looks like that the only thing that McCrory and the state legislature have in common is that they're both Republican. But so many of its actions, and we saw that against Tom Tillis as well when Tom Tillis was running for the Senate in 2014, so many of the legislature's actions represent their constituencies, which is mostly rural and mostly, you know, conservative, whereas McCrory has to run statewide. He's more of a pro-business kind of guy than a Tea Party kind of guy. So while the legislature is talking about, you know, same-sex marriages and things like that, McCrory's saying, wait a second, I don't want to be painted as, you know, as somebody who, you know, who we saw what the embarrassment that these certain segments of the population went through with Indiana and Arkansas with, you know, those kind of laws and things like that. So McCrory's trying to expand the tent while the legislature at the same time is trying to make it much more conservative, much more difficult for him.
Well, and this is the same kind of the same sort of grief that the Democrats suffered when they had complete control of the governor's mansion and the legislature. And that is, what does it mean to be a Democrat? It really expands the sort of the scope of what it means to be a Democrat. And I guess to put a point on it, Jay Faison, a Republican entrepreneur from Charlotte, is pouring millions of dollars into convincing fellow Republicans that climate change is real and they need to take it seriously.
You know something that's interesting to see? There's several examples, and we've talked about this on your show before, of millionaires, mostly in the Republican Party, who were willing to spend whatever it takes to convince certain segments of the population to support this legislation or that legislation. I just wonder if, given the fact that the conservatives, aside from a Jesse Helms or something like that, but for the most part, the conservatives have been stymied in North Carolina for so many, I mean, for like a century or so, given the fact that the first time after the 2010 election, after the 2012 elections, the Republicans have the governorship and the legislature for the first time since I think 1066. So I wonder if there are a lot of conservatives out there who are just getting the opportunity now that they finally have the power, now that they finally have a voice with the legislature, they're trying to do whatever they can to influence legislatures by tossing around all this money.
Well, and I think that's an interesting point, because the governor is going to talk about what he calls the Carolina comeback. Of course, the economy generally has improved. Governor is naturally taking credit for that, but it's a national movement. And the question is whether or not the rest of the state is enjoying the benefits of that comeback. GDP, of course, has long since been decoupled, so we know that wages don't keep pace with economic growth. And he's talking about the Carolina comeback. Democrats, of course, pointing to all the shortcomings, all the people not served by Medicaid, all the people who are suffering, who are working at low-wage jobs, and the fact that not everybody has come along, and the fact that a lot of people have actually paid more in taxes this past year, even with tax cuts at the higher income levels and for corporations. How does this Carolina comeback, do you think, this idea that he's going to take credit for economic recovery play out in the next 2 years?
Well, I mean, you've just defined the 2016 elections. Obviously, if you're in a Republican state and things are okay, you're going to want to take credit for the good news. If it's bad, you want to blame it on President Obama. Similarly, the Democrats will say in a Republican state that, you know, everything's bad because of the Republican governor, the Republican legislature, and their policies, and not blame the president. So this is what part of the 2016 election is going to decide. The spin on both sides is tremendous. But, you know, I mean, look, McCrory does have a case to be made, as well as the Democratic opposition. Is it as good as it could be? Probably not. Is it better than it was? Probably so. And I think both parties will try to make that case come next year.
Ken, I've just got 30 seconds left. The Iowa straw poll, at least for the GOP in the state of Iowa, ended. They said there's just not enough interest. The straw poll that catapulted Jimmy Carter into the White House, at least on the GOP side in Iowa, gone. What do you think?
Well, no. We're not talking about the caucuses. We're talking about the straw poll, which is a Republican thing. When Laura Lee, your indefatigable producer, told me a half hour ago that they canceled it, I almost fell off my chair. But basically, look, remember, Michelle Bachmann won the straw poll in 2011 and hasn't been heard from since. It's basically something that has really run its course. A lot of Republican candidates like Jeb Bush, Marco Rubio, Mike Huckabee, who even won the caucuses, says, I'm no longer going to participate in this fake straw poll. And with so many candidates bailing, the Republican Party said, well, you know something, it's time. We had a great time with it. We've had it since 1979.
We had a great time with you, Ken. Your 30 seconds are up. Ken Rudin, Bye. Political junkie. There's more of the state of things just ahead. Stay tuned.